We've been, for the last couple months, Brian had been leading us through this series called Gospel Basics, where we talked about what the gospel is, the teachings of the New Testament about what the gospel is, and what it means for those who have put their faith in Jesus. What is true of you if you've put your faith in Jesus? So we were in this series called Gospel Basics, and Brian was teaching us through that series, and then he left us on his last sermon. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Nicholas. I am the youth and worship ministries pastor here at our church. Pastor Brian Baker, he is on sabbatical for this summer, so please be praying for him and Kim and their families. They get to spend time just renewing and just resting and seeking the Lord for what's next. He's going to be back in September. We're so excited to have him back, but we're also so excited for God to work in his life and in this time of renewal. So please be praying for them during this time. But on the last sermon of that series, Brian left us with this passage, Philippians 1, 27 through 29. And today we're just going to read Philippians 1, 27. It says this: only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. A year and a half ago or so, we started as a church this vision clarity process. We got together with some incredible leaders who are part of an organization that help businesses. It's a Christian organization, but they help businesses and they help churches kind of revision who they want to be. And we did this, and who we want to be as a church. And this is an ongoing process. This church has been around for a long time, and we hope that it is around for a long time ahead, continuing to do the work of God in Big Timber. But we started to just think and pray, Lord, where do you want us to go next? And of course, the question, who do we want to be as a church, comes down always to the central commands of Jesus. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, Jesus teaches us, is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. How do we do that as a church? How do we do that as individuals? Later, Jesus gave this new commandment to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. How do we do that as a church? And finally, before his ascension, Jesus gave his disciples and he gave to the church this, what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is who we want to be as a church. But how do we do that? How do you live that out as a follower of Jesus in 2026 in Big Timber, Montana? How do we do this as a church? How do we be a part of God's mission to bring his kingdom to earth, to make disciples of all nations, starting right here? How do we do this? So we began this process, and we were just burdened and grieved because there is so much need in our community. We see God doing incredible things, and we get to celebrate what he's doing in our church. We get to celebrate what he's doing in our lives because he is constantly at work in us and through us. But we also see hurt and brokenness and pain. We see addictions. We see sorrow and grief. We see abuse. We see depression and anxiety. We see sin of the world at work in our community. And we began to just move forward in being the kind of church that God wants us to be by praying for the shalom of Big Timber, that God's wholeness would fall upon our lives, that we would bring our lives into alignment with God's will for us, for our families, and that would just permeate out and bring people to know Jesus. And so, as we pursue this challenge from the Apostle Paul to the Philippians that Brian left us with, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's what we want to do. Brian pointed out that this challenge, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, is based on this Greek word axios, which is essentially just a scale. It points us this image of a scale, the worthiness of Christ, the weight of what he has done. We want to live in such a way that answers that beauty and greatness, that self-sacrificial love, that compassion, that undeserved kindness. We'll never be able to pay it back. We'll never be able to live in a manner that's truly worthy of what he's done. But because we've been set free in Christ, because we believe the gospel and have been forgiven of our sins and are welcomed into the loving arms of our Father God, we can be free to live life, as Jesus put it, abundantly, live life to the full. We can strive to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what we want to do. We're going to talk about discipleship over the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about discipleship. Today, we're going to start with just what it means to be a disciple, plain and simple. And I want to invite you this morning to, I used dipstick in the first service. I might use tire gauge, but I don't know about that, because that just, and like, that's not what we want to do. I think if we're diving into how we're doing with God this morning, I don't know if we want to dive deep. Okay, we're going to stick with dipstick. Okay, everyone get your spiritual dipsticks ready. Okay, we are going to just take an honest look at where we are with God in our walk with him. And I just want to invite you this morning to be real, be genuine, authentic, and bring who you are to Christ. And be challenged once again and encouraged once again by this invitation to be a disciple. Now, this is going to require of us, it requires a lot. In fact, it requires all of us. It requires our whole life. Jesus says, he warned those who wanted to follow him, in the same way that a master builder takes an account and counts the cost of the project that they're about to undertake. So we too, if we want to be followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, we too must count the cost. What is it going to cost us to follow Jesus? But I also love this promise, this image that Jesus uses. And he says, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, that a man was walking one day and finds this treasure, and he goes and sells everything he has to buy that field because he knows that it is worth it. And so we're going to take a look at our journey as disciples this morning. And I don't know about for you, and I mentioned this a little bit last week, but when I hear the term discipleship, I immediately think of a list of to-dos. I think of a list of what is, like, well, truly it's the life I want to live, but it's also the measuring stick that I see, the perfection of Jesus, all of the spiritual disciplines that I want to practice, and I see that I fall short in so many ways. And I hear discipleship, and sometimes I hear the voice of the world. I hear the voice of the enemy. I hear the voice of my own pride just saying, you are not enough. You're not doing enough. You're not measuring up. And I was reading in Exodus chapter 5. And as I mentioned last week, it's where Moses comes before Pharaoh. It says, God has said, essentially, let my people go. And Pharaoh returns, who is this God that I should listen to him? You people are lazy. That's why you want to go and worship your God. Get back to work. Why have you not accomplished your task? If you read Exodus chapter 5, it honestly made me laugh so much because Pharaoh's just constantly, you're lazy. You are falling short. Get back to work. Why haven't you met your quota? Why didn't you do everything I asked of you to do? And honestly, that's like my inner dialogue oftentimes, especially when it comes to sometimes following Jesus. And when I try and follow Jesus of my own strength, that is the sort of voice that I hear. It's the same voice that I think led the religious people who were zealous for God. The Bible describes them that way. They were zealous for God. But they, in their own strength, developed these roles and systems. You see, in the first century, there were rabbis and teachers who, all Jewish men, when they were young, they would study the Torah, they would study the Bible, they would try and even memorize the first five books and more. And those who excelled in that would grow and become Pharisees, rabbis, teachers. They would go and travel around and teach what they would call a rule of life, where they had discerned in their own strength how to best honor God with their life. And they would come up with many, many rules that you would have to follow. And each teacher, if they were successful, would have a group that followed them called their disciples. That's what a disciple was. And a disciple would follow their teacher. They would pursue them. They would chase after them. They would follow even in their exact footsteps. They wanted to be like their rabbi. They wanted to be like their teacher and do everything they did and follow every rule of life that they came up with to honor God and follow the law. And it created this massive weight and this burden on the people of Israel who were already oppressed by the Roman Empire. Their own religious leaders laid this weight upon the people that God did not intend. This rule of life that the rabbis taught was commonly referred to as the yoke of that rabbi. The rule of life, the way of living, the way to be righteous, the way to be holy was to follow the teachings of that rabbi. And the image was to put on the yoke, like yoking an oxen, of that way of living. And so, a danger that we see in this, that pops up time and time again, and is in the Bible and has popped up time and time again in my own life, is when I try and do this of my own strength and be a disciple to the best of my ability on my own, I end up hearing that voice of Pharaoh. You're not doing enough. Or I end up like the Pharisees and the rabbis that would just add rules and rules and rules that no one could live up to, and just feel crushed under the weight of my falling short. So into this world of people who wanted to follow God's teaching, who were zealous for God and wanted to honor him, Jesus teaches us this. And in the heart of wanting to understand what it means to be a disciple, so that we can go and make disciples and be a church that is on mission in our community and in our world, we need to start here with Jesus's correction to this way of the world. It says this in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So in this passage, we have a list of invitations and even a list of promises. First invitation, Jesus says, come to me. Come to him. He's inviting you into a personal relationship. He's inviting you to walk closely with him, to follow in his footsteps. And as we read in the Great Commission, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Christ is with us and for us. But we have to come to him. We cannot come to him just with what is good about ourselves, what we think our strengths are, what we think he will accept, what we think that would honor him. No, he wants our weakness. He wants our burden. He wants our weariness. He wants us to just come as we are to him. I think of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I actually don't even think it's a parable. I think it's just a story. Pharisee is outside of the temple and he says, Lord, like, I'm so thankful I'm not like these other people, these sinners, adulterers, tax collectors. I'm so thankful I'm not like them. But the tax collector stands far off from the temple, says he beats his chest and says, Lord, I am not worthy. I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, this one will go away justified. God wants us to come to him with an honest heart, vulnerable, real, and open. In 1 Peter, we have this invitation where Peter informed or encourages his audience and says, cast your cares upon him, or cast your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. In Psalm 62, verse 8, the psalmist writes, pour out your hearts before him, for God is a refuge for us. When we come to the Lord in prayer, when we come to the Lord at any time throughout the day, it's good to pray for the needs of others. It's good to pray for his will to be done. Of course, it is good to pray for all these things, but often we can pursue, we can come to God and just show up like we think we ought to and pray the things we think we ought to pray, which are true and good. But it's deeper than that. This invitation that Jesus has for you, pour out your heart before him. A central aspect of discipleship in the first century, a central aspect of following Jesus or following a rabbi, is pursuit. You don't sit here and the rabbi comes to you and teaches and then leaves. You follow their every move. You pursue them. You ask them questions. You seek after their every word because you know how much further down the road they are. You know how much of a need you have to learn from them, to become like them. So those aspects of pursuit for us are often, yeah, take initiative, set aside time to get in the word, to read the Bible, to spend time in prayer, develop a system of spiritual disciplines, fasting, generosity, a time where you gather regularly with your community, Sunday mornings, but also outside of Sunday mornings, where you encourage one another, pray with one another. Those are great, great things. We need to take initiative to pursue Christ through those avenues. But I want to encourage you, I think an area that we often miss in coming to Jesus and in our pursuit of him is taking steps of initiative, of honesty with our God, vulnerability with our Father in heaven. Pour out your hearts before him. He's a refuge. Come to Jesus. The next invitation is this: take my yoke. See, the world has a yoke for you. The world has a yoke for you. And if you are not careful, you will take on burdens that you are not meant to carry. Whether it's your own pride and saying yes to too many things, I can absolutely handle all of this perfectly. Or just the way the world is. And especially in our culture, there's a lot of Pharaoh. There's a lot of Egypt, I believe, in our Western cultures today. Your worth is linked to your productivity. And that needs to be fought against. Not that we're not supposed to be productive, not that we're not supposed to be absolutely living the lives God has called us to, working hard for his glory, but in alignment with him and his yoke for you and not the world's. If we're not careful, we will take on a burden that we're not meant to carry. So be honest with yourself. What are you carrying? And for every single person in this room, this discernment will look differently. And so I just ask, Holy Spirit, would you search us and know us and reveal to us, Lord, the burdens we carry. Things that we're not meant to, that leave us weary. And Lord, help us to cast off our burdens that are not of you, so that we may run the race set before us. Lord, give us wisdom in that. Jesus' next invitation is this. In this passage, learn from me. We are each being discipled by something all the time. You are being formed from one day to the next into someone, into something. And if we are not intentional for that thing to be Jesus, I guarantee you that thing will be the world, what we watch, what we listen to, who we spend time around, our own flesh and desires. That's what we're going to become like. There's this old kind of youth group adage, youth pastor saying, if you're coasting, you're coasting downhill, right? If you're coasting, you're coasting downhill. If you're not intentionally pursuing Jesus, you are going to become like the world. Let me tell you, there are intentional cultural agendas being shared through what we watch, and unintentional, of course. But I heard it recently put this way: each show, each episode is a sermon. Each podcast is a sermon. Each day we go by, we are being formed into the image of something. So we need to be careful. What are we being formed into? And Jesus invites us, learn from me. And this is not just a one-time decision. This is a daily, lifelong posture of our heart and mind and soul to stand before God, to come before him daily. Say, Lord, I need you. Jesus, lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. You have this invitation from Jesus to learn from him. It's so easy to plateau and think we've come far enough, but I've just been so encouraged and challenged and convicted every time I think that I have got it figured out. God reminds me I am in the shallow end of his goodness and his glory. I think I've experienced his grace to the full. Not even close. His grace abounds more than I could ever know. The more I study, the more I learn about God, and I'm in just in awe of who he is, and think maybe I'm in the deep end of God and following him, I'm reminded how great and glorious is the God that we worship and the God that we serve and the God that invites us to come to him, take his yoke, and to learn from him. God is so good. And he invites us to learn from him. So we're going to talk about in just a moment, we're going to talk about some avenues to pursue, to learn from Jesus and take this posture of lifelong learning and lifelong discipleship. But before we do, I just want to speak to what Jesus says about his own heart. And as far as I know, the one place that Jesus talks about the heart of God, he describes it as gentle and lowly. He says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Unlike the world is so often like Pharaoh, like Egypt, do more. You're not measuring up. Jesus meets us in our weakness. Jesus meets us in our falling short. He says, "I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You will find rest for your souls." So I want to encourage you to be a disciple. I heard this first from John Mark Comer, although it's been pointed out by many others. A better word for us in the way we think about who we are in relationship to Jesus, and it's more accurate perhaps to what the word disciple means when we see it in the New Testament, is apprentice. Someone who, and that, yeah, that word might bring to our minds more accurately what God had intended for our life with Jesus, to be an apprentice. And like the disciples, the rabbis in the first century, to follow in his every footstep, to cling to his every word, to seek him out daily, pursue him, follow wherever he leads, do what he does, and live the way he would live. That's what we want to be. If we want to see our families healthy and strong, if we want to see our friends' lives get impacted by the gospel, which they desperately need, we need to be people who follow Jesus. And when we do, we'll see that it is not by our strength, but when we do, when we come before him, when we spend time in his presence, when we seek him, the power of the Holy Spirit produces in us and through us love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit that are so desperately needed by our broken world. If we want to see our friends come to Jesus, if we want to see Big Timber look more like heaven, if we want to see shalom in Big Timber, if we want to go and make disciples of all nations, we need to be apprentices of Jesus, actively pursuing his way of life, the yoke that he has for us. And so I just want to bring these avenues, these spiritual disciplines, these ways of following Jesus and pursuing him to the table, and just ask the Lord perhaps to highlight something that could be a focus for you this week and this summer as you grow in your relationship with Jesus. A way of pursuing Jesus is through prayer. How is your prayer life? Take that spiritual dipstick and be honest. Reach down deep. Honestly, how is your walk with God? Is it a list of things you know you should pray for, or you rifle through it? But the God of the universe is inviting you into a personal relationship, and you often check through that and head out the door. And I invite you to just come to Jesus daily, be with him, learn from him, connect deeply with the God who created you. Another way is to dive into the scriptures. Pick a reading plan, perhaps, or just start somewhere. Start in the New Testament, read a chapter a day. I have a general rule for younger people, if they're trying to get a discipline going with reading the Bible, 2 minutes. Who can do 2 minutes of reading the Bible? A, you will have read the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword in those 2 minutes. But B, if you get started with those 2 minutes, I almost guarantee you, you will continue. And you'll just kind of fall back in love with the word of God and the wisdom and the richness, the light that it is to our path. So spend time in scripture. Maybe rethink how you view worship. Maybe when we gather, of course, worship is not just in this building. Worship is a posture of placing God on the throne of our life in everything that we do and realizing that he is worthy of our glory. He is worthy of everything we do. It's like everything you do, do as unto him. That is worship. But when we gather for these intentional times of corporate worship, maybe consider what that is. Something I often do is just recognize in my mind the reality that we know from scripture that God is present in this room, that God is present in our lives. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Something I often do is just picture the glory of God. Picture him seated on his throne and just worship. Maybe dive into what worship means. Fourth thing you might want to do is consider your community. Do you intentionally seek Christian community? Do you come to church on Sunday mornings, which is amazing, and join in this time, but it's pretty easy to just kind of scoot out afterwards and go about our week. I want to encourage you to pursue Christian community. Now, we've got amazing Bible studies here at the church. Those are awesome to be a part of. Really amazing people who love Jesus and are so mature in their faith and are just incredible, who gather together, just dive into the scriptures, share their lives with one another, pray for one another, lift one another up. I love the Bible studies that happen here at our church, and I would encourage you to be a part of that. But it also could be you and a friend or another couple, maybe a couple couples, get together somewhat regularly and be intentional. Talk about what God's doing in your life. Talk about what you are desperately praying that God would do in your life, your hurts, your pains, your joys, your successes. A way of pursuing Jesus is through pursuing Christian community. The thing that God might be inviting you into to pursue him is to take a Sabbath, to take a day each week and to stop working and to set it aside unto the Lord. Spend maybe an extended amount of time with him. Go and do things that stir your affection for God. Go hiking, go fishing, go spend time outside with your family, go do something. Honestly, you don't want to know what a really good tip for Sabbath is? If you watch TV and you see commercials, almost anything that they're doing in commercials as they're trying to sell you like some sort of drug or something, is like something you should do on a Sabbath. Honestly, come back to me, you'll see. But like outside, smiling, flying a kite or something like that, it's so good for the soul. And there's a reason why God made it so clear in scripture that that's how he designed us, to take time and to keep the Sabbath holy unto the Lord. I would encourage you to do that. Six would be fasting. A way we can pursue Christ and cast off that which hinders us. So often we have these sin struggles or things that that we hold on to that are keeping us from following Jesus the way we know we should. A way that we can overcome that is through fasting. The way that God uses to reorient our desires, reorient our loves, and the things that we go to when we're stressed, or the things we go to when we're anxious. Fasting teaches us to go to Him when we feel the need. So I'd encourage you to consider what fasting might look like for you. And lastly, I would encourage you to take steps of pursuing Jesus through service of others. Now, that could be volunteering at the church. We've got amazing volunteer teams and ways you can use your gifts and talents to help make this happen and all that we've got going on through the week. But that could also be looking at your neighbor, looking at your neighbor's yard, I don't know, looking at your neighbor's life, looking at, you know, you might have heard something through the grapevine at work about something going on in the community. Find a way to serve and be like Jesus in that way. So I want to just put these before you and invite you to consider what God might ask of you to better follow Him and to become more like Him. We're talking about discipleship. And true discipleship happens because we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus died on the cross and tore the veil. And though we were still sinners, He died for us. And though our sins were red like scarlet, He has made them white as snow, the Bible teaches us. And because of this, we can enter into communion with Him. We can have this true and real close relationship. We can be in the presence of God. We can come to Him, learn from Him, take His yoke upon us. It is only by the blood of Jesus that we can live this out. And I want to just encourage you, just be honest and vulnerable with God. We want to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The weight of what He has accomplished for us, the weight of the price that He paid for us. We want to live in a manner worthy. And so if there is something in your life, maybe a sin struggle that you've got going on right now, or maybe you feel like, I just have fallen so short in discipleship. And so often it is like, I want God to come and do things for me and then leave, but I don't really follow Jesus. I don't follow His every footstep. I don't chase after Him and His teaching and cling to every word, but I want to live like that. That we serve a God who is gentle and lowly of heart, who's gracious and compassionate and full of steadfast love. Be reminded of the God we serve, what He has done for us on the cross, and the life He has called us to. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for what You've done. We thank You for the gospel, Lord, that You created this world good. Lord, but we have chosen sin. And Lord, we needed a Savior to bring us into right communion with You. And Lord, You sent Your Son Jesus. And in accordance with the scriptures, He was crucified on the cross. He was buried for 3 days. And in accordance with the scriptures, He rose again. Lord, that whoever would believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, that whoever believes in Him is made new, is adopted into the family of God as a son or daughter, Lord, and given new life. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You've done. Amen.